I'm just going to tell you straight up right now, if I was ever asked to turn on the sound system, you can forget it, because it looks like the dashboard of a 747 up there. And so, but if I could ask the guys to give me Psalms 150, I just want to clarify something. This scripture is scripture. It is Bible. And the Bible is meant for every assembly. It's meant for every church, regardless of what the name is. Amen. It's meant for every church, or it wouldn't be in the Bible. Am I correct? This is why we act so strange. Praise the Lord. It said, praise God in His sanctuary. It means to praise Him in here. And He said, praise Him in the firmament of His power. That means praise Him out there. Hallelujah. It said, praise Him for His mighty acts. Has God been good to anybody? And so that's what we do. That's what we do. We praise Him. Amen. He healed me of cancer 13 years ago. I came within 30 minutes of losing my life. There was feeding tubes. There's radiation. There's chemotherapy. Amen. Here just a few weeks ago, I lost my dad. Just a couple weeks later, I lost my little sister. And we praise Him for His mighty acts, because we never know when we need Him to do more mighty acts. So it's good to praise Him in advance. And so it is. We've got folks here that are doing well, and all is well, and the money's good, the housing is good, great expectations, family looks good. Amen. Husband looks good. Wife looks good. All is well. But just know this. All of the time off the coast of North Carolina, there's a storm brewing somewhere, and eventually it's going to show up on the coastline, and it's going to hit the inland, and people are going to suffer. Just as sure as God made little green apples, and it does rain in California, I'm just going to tell you, a storm is going to come. But it would be good to be prepared and have praise stocked up, and we will be able to praise Him after the storm for His mighty acts. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. Is our God great? Praise Him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise Him with the psaltery and the harp. Praise Him with the timbrel and the dance. Praise Him with the stringed instruments and organs. Praise Him upon the loud. In other words, the Lord is saying, would somebody down there make some noise? Praise Him upon the high sounding cymbals. Let everything that hath breath, that means with your breathing, amen, not just your actions, not just showing up to church, not just singing out of a 250-year-old hymnal, amen, but let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Amen. Say something new. Say something fresh. Say something that you mean from today. How about I love You, Jesus? How about I am here to praise You? I'm here to lift You. I'm here to worship You. I'm here to magnify You. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. And I'm going to tell you something, you old North Carolinian. Just because you've been wicked and wrong and you've done some bad things, don't feel like you can't worship God. I know how you think. I'm from North Carolina. I can get by with this. Amen. We feel like we're so unworthy, and we should. We feel like we don't deserve anything, and we should feel that way. And we feel like that anybody else should worship Him besides us. And maybe we should feel that way. But He has already given me the green light when He said, let everything that hath breath praise You, the Lord. Amen. So you qualify. You qualify. You qualify. And you I qualify. Everyone in the house qualifies to worship the Lord. Are you breathing? Let's give Him some praise right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. It's not a ritual and it's not a routine. It's a relationship. Praise the Lord. Amen. And so let's look to the Word of God while you're standing. Amen. We're going to go to the beginning. Genesis chapter 1 and verse number 1. We're going to read the Bible through today. Just kidding. Genesis 1 and 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And I would love to hear everybody say, good enough. Great. Lord, help us in Jesus' name. We call on the name that's greater. We call on the name that's more powerful. We call on the name that's more wonderful. The righteous, the glorious, the magnificent name of Jesus. We ask you, Lord, to touch every life and every heart. To touch every soul and every individual. God, no matter where we've been or what we've done, who we are, I pray, God, that you again make the ground level at the base of the cross, and that your mercy and your grace would be extended today, and that someone would take advantage of your love. Someone would take advantage of your forgiveness and your hope and your help today. Amen. Somebody say yes. God bless you as you're seated just now. Amen. I want to preach a message simply entitled, In the Beginning. In the beginning. Praise God. Somebody said God likes baseball because he started the Bible with the big inning. I don't know about all that. I just don't know. Someone said Joseph loved tennis because he served in Pharaoh's courts. That sounds like somebody that don't understand the Bible very well. Amen. Probably the same person that said Noah's Ark was found in Arkansas because Noah looked out the Arkansas. I don't know. Somebody needs Bible study. But I do know that I once read that the brain is a goal-seeking organism, and that setting a goal creates structural tension in your brain. Amen. Hallelujah. I think we got about three or four gymnasiums represented in here today, and so I'll take a percentage, praise the Lord, as I advertise for you here. But this will seek, your goal creates structural tension in your brain, and this will seek to close the gap between where you are and where you want to be. Who you are and who you wish to become. If you do not set goals, your mind becomes stagnant. Goal setting is good stewardship, and they called it good stewardship of your right brain. So I guess if there's a right brain, there's a wrong brain. I don't understand and comprehend all of that. But it's called the right brain of imagination. If you can imagine it and set goals for it, then it can be achievable. It will also work for your prayer life. Amen. Praise God. When you pray, expect it. When I pray for you, expect God to answer. I pray for people, and as I pray for them, they're looking forward to the next prayer for the same thing. That's not faith. Amen. Be shocked and surprised if you walk away without what you've been praying for. And then come back and let's pray again. And be shocked and surprised if you didn't get what you prayed for. And then come back and let's pray again. But as we pray, don't look forward to the next prayer over the same thing. Let's think with the right side of the brain, or whatever they were calling it. Amen. That right place where we have the imagination that we can think that God can do all things, and that our God is a healer, and that He is a provider. I know for a fact that there's a healing in here today. There's a saving grace in here today. Amen. I don't know why some people come, but you're here. And since you're here, you ought to take advantage of the moment and let the Lord touch you in a great, wonderful, mighty, and powerful way. Let the church make some noise, because He said He inhabits the praises of His people. Don't you let the devil have your hallelujah. Not in the middle of apostolic revival, when the Lord is calling us back to the house of God. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Over 4 million in our constituents now across the world. And the anointing is still breaking the yoke and tearing down strongholds. And God is still raising up a church. Amen. This is not our final goal. Amen. Our goal is for this to be a place where we fellowship and we eat fried chicken and play a little bit of basketball. Our goal is a 1,000 seated assembly just adjacent to the other building. Amen. Where we can worship God with over 1,000 people. Hallelujah. I was asked a long time ago when we came about 26 years ago, one of our young people, amen, it was Anna, in fact, Donna, your sister. I think she lives in Washington now. She's a lawyer or something, praise God. And so she was a teenager, and we were taking, all of our teenagers were in the van, both of them. And we were taking them to a youth rally, amen. And Anna just couldn't take it anymore. And she just looked at me in the rearview mirror. And I looked at her and she said, "Why did you pick Lexington?" I said, "Girl, I said, we picked Lexington because there's revival here. We picked Lexington because there's church growth here. We picked Lexington because God wants to do great things here. And I want you to see some of the result." Hallelujah. But could I announce to you today that this is just the beginning? I don't care if it is 26 years later. Can you imagine what this house is going to look like 26 years from now? If the Lord tarries, there's going to be some things happening in this city. And Landmark is going to be the blame for it. And everybody's going to know where the church is. Everybody's going to know where the fire falls. Everybody's going to know where the anointing is. And where God puts families together and raises up young people to do exploits for the kingdom of God. They're going to know that. I want you to be a part of that. Hallelujah. Amen. This is just the beginning. Praise the Lord. Amen. And so God sets goals. He was God was the beginning and the end, because you know what? He created the beginning and the end. Amen. We get confused in our minds because we think, okay, God always was. I don't get that. The reason you don't get that is because you had a beginning. He didn't. And get your scientists to figure that out, because they can't, because they had a beginning and they're going to have an ending. But is God not greater? Hello? He was the beginning and he is the end because he created it. Amen. He never chose. Hey, I'll tell you what's going to blow your mind. It's when you get to the place where there is no end. Hallelujah. And we don't have to worry about our hair turning gray or turning loose. I don't care if it turns gray. I just don't want it to turn loose. And I'm losing both battles. Praise God. Hallelujah. He never chose to begin something that he had no intention of finishing. And even though you may be from North Carolina and you feel like you're the hardest job that God ever had, he's going to finish what he started. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, you're a major part of this beginning, and you're going to be a major part of the end. Amen. I've seen how some of you began, and it was absolutely awesome. Amen. But I'm going to tell you, the grand finale is going to be greater than the beginning. Amen. He already told us the latter rain is going to be greater than the former rain. Your sons and your daughters are going to evangelize the world. Your sons and your daughters are going to teach thousands of people Jesus' name baptism. Your sons and your daughters are going to prophesy over the sick and they're going to be healed. Amen. They're not going to be like everybody else. They're not going to be wasted in the crowd and found locked up in a number somewhere and just doing what everybody else is doing, but they will stand out like a fingerprint in this universe, and they will create great things and do great exploits. I want you to know right now, amen, that you are a great beginning, but you are going to be one more grand finale. When all of this is said and done, you're going to take what was done and use it for a testimony and do great things for the kingdom of God. We're going to grow a church. We're going to grow a great people. We're going to grow a great nation. Our nation will get their face back toward God. Our flags will wave high, and the anointing will break the yoke of bondage of sin, sickness, and disease, and God will have his way again. Somebody shout amen. Amen. Praise God. My question to you is simply this. If he started with us, why can't he finish with this, why can't we finish with him? Amen. He started with us, and we're going to finish with him. Paul said, I press toward the mark for the prize. Amen. He started when he was on his way to Damascus. He finished when his head rolled into a basket for preaching what I'm preaching here today. Amen. This may not be the most popular message, and it may not, because I'm telling you right now, there are others that have plans to be greater than anybody else in this universe. And when God raises you up to do great things, they don't like you. But I could care less about who likes me or who doesn't like me. I'm here to tell you, I like Jesus, and he likes me, and I intend on accomplishing something for the glory of God before this is all over with and said and done. Amen. The start may have been phenomenal, but now it's time to plan for the grand finale. Simon Peter almost blew the end in his life because all he had was a beginning. Amen. The Lord knew about Simon Peter more than he knew about himself. Amen. Simon thought he would die for Jesus, but when it got tough and when it got rough, he denied that he even knew him. But the Lord knew. He said, Simon, he said, Satan has desired you that he may sift you like wheat. He's going to jerk you out of this. He's going to take you away from me. You're going to deny the fact that you even walked with me and talked with me or ever even knew me. You'll see the day that you'll be able to laugh at me, and calamity will come to your life. Amen. But you're going to do a big circle, buddy, and I'm going to bring you right back. Here's what you're going to do. You're going to stand up like Brother Ron Harris just did, and you're going to proclaim this message to the church. You will preach the first apostolic message and begin the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's exactly what Simon Peter did. So you get ready. Hallelujah. I don't care where you are, but God's got his finger on you, and he will not lift it, because the gift of God is without repentance. He will not draw it back. You may walk away, but the Lord will go with you wherever you go. Every day you sense his presence. Every day you know his eyes are on you. Every day you sense and feel the anointing of God walking beside you, because you can't walk away from it once you've been attached to it, because he doesn't withdraw what he gives. Hallelujah. The best thing that we can do is go ahead and start replanting our end, because the end is going to be better than the beginning. And I want to do great things for the Lord. Hallelujah. I'm looking at folks today. You own your beginning. Praise God. You own it. Amen. You're here. You've started. Possibly even today, the shot will be fired for someone's first step from the starting line. Amen. Every miracle has a beginning. Amen. I remember when I called the aged old pastor in Louisiana. I never knew Brother Barnes. I never had the opportunity to speak to him, but he was a great prophet of God. He lay hands on people that were sick, and they would be healed and delivered and set free and all of this. And something urged me to call him, and I called him and said, Brother Barnes, you don't know me. And I said, but I've been diagnosed with nasopharynx cancer. I said, it's so deep in that region that they can't even do surgery on the tumor, and so they're going to blast it with chemotherapy and radiation, and I'm going to have a feeding tube, and they're going to cut my throat here and take out 18 lymph nodes and all of this. And I said, but before you say anything, I just want to let you know I'm praying every morning at 3:00. God wakes me up and I go upstairs, and I've been places with God through all of this that I've never been before. And I want to let you know, and I just wanted to give him a report. And then when I went silent and allowed him to speak, he spoke and he said, Brother Marshburn, that's a good start. I thought, what the what? All this stuff I've been doing, and you're going to tell me that's a good start? I didn't say that to him because I honored a man of God. But I'm thinking, what else can I do? And then I found out there was something else I could do. Once I've done all I can do, I can keep doing what I've done and expect God to do a great ending, to let God give it a great finish. In other words, just because I'm sick and throwing up every day, just because I'm starving to death, just because my wife put some gobbledygook in a feeding tube and then I would throw it up and couldn't even eat it, and just because I lost 40 pounds and I couldn't lose 40 pounds, and then but I kept on praying and I kept on reaching, and just because it didn't look good for me right then, it didn't mean I wasn't going to come to the end of all of this. Amen. I did come to the end, and God did grant miracles, and it seems like almost everything I touch gets healed in their body, and I thank God for that. Hallelujah. That's the Holy Ghost. That's the Spirit of God. But if I didn't walk through it, the Lord wouldn't have been able to do it. Hallelujah. I want you to know that the end is going to be so much greater than the beginning. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. And then we talked a little longer, and then he finally said this, and he said, I will tell you this. He said, your sickness is not unto death. That was enough for me. That was enough for me. Praise God. Hallelujah. Where is it? I want to ask you a question. Listen, don't you ever forget, the devil always, he will always fight against us. He may always fight against us. However, our ally will always fight for us. Amen. Amen. I remember when Cody, I think, what was Cody, 13, I think. And I couldn't tell them I had cancer. And so I had my pastor come and do it. And Cody was standing there listening. And after Brother Huntley said, your dad has cancer. And Cody looked up and he said, so my dad's going to die? And I answered that. And I looked at him and I said, absolutely not. Now, his response was a response that I would that everyone would have from now until the rapture takes place. He didn't say anything. He didn't speak anything. When Brother Huntley got there to announce that I had cancer, Cody come from his bedroom playing a video game or whatever it was he was doing in there, and stood there, and he asked the question, so is my dad going to die? And then I looked at him and I said, Cody, absolutely not. Then he walked off and went back and played video games and started doing what he was doing. He believed me. Can you believe that? And so when the Lord says, I can do all things, I am the Alpha and the Omega, do you believe him? When he says, I'm the beginning and the end, do you believe him? When he said, I'm your healer, I'm your provider, do you believe him? When he says, I am the anointing and I am the authority over your life and I can do anything that you need me to do we believe him? Amen. When the Bible says, let everything praise him. When the Bible says, when I praise him, he inhabits my praises, that I feel his presence. Do you believe him? Amen. Do we respond to scriptures like that because we believe? Amen. I don't want one young person worshiping because the other one does, but I want you worshiping because you believe him. I want you praising him because you believe him. I want you in church today because you believe in him and that you stand on the promises of God. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. So the Lord is with us. I pause to ask a question. Where is it exactly that you decide to finish this race? Amen. When do I decide that I'm going to make it? At what point do I see myself with Jesus? When do I finally see my friends and my family and I together in glory, where the Lamb is the light in that city of gold? The answer is not in the middle of your relationship with God. It's not on your deathbed. It's not in a crisis. It's not near the end of the race. It is at the beginning. It's today. Because today is the day of salvation. And we're not saved until we get there. And so if you want salvation, you've got to see yourself all the way from the beginning to the end. I want you to see it now. Do not start without seeing it. If you can get in to the kingdom of God, you can get out of this world and get to God. If you can start, you can finish. If you've come this far, you can go all the way. By defining your destiny and your decision, you will do right in daily decisions. No destiny goals, no daily victories. Jesus showed us at Gethsemane that he prayed through for his disciples, but they would not pray through for him. He will bring you to it, but it's up to you and I to pray through it. When you pray through it, you break through it. Praise God. And don't forget, sometimes an empty stomach can lead to a full spirit. I know fasting and prayer is something ancient and something that the church and something that Smiley will never talk about. But I'm just here to tell you right now, fasting and prayer is something that all of us continue to need. It is not working to get into the kingdom of God. It is obedience to God to get into the kingdom of God. Amen. He said some of these will not come except through prayer and fasting. Some of the needs that are represented need prayer. Some of them need fasting. Amen. There's an individual in the church today that is on their, I think it's their 23rd day without food. You say, my word, is that even possible? You're going to have to ask them because it's their 23rd day. Amen. Why? Because they're believing God for things in their body. They're believing God for things in their family. They're believing God for things in the church. They're believing God for things of revival. In other words, to put a long story short, they just want to finish well. They want to finish good. They want to finish as well as they started. They want God to do great things and great exploits, and he will. He already has. Because of what they're doing, miracles and signs and wonders have begun to happen. They don't even want to eat. Hallelujah. Amen. And it's not anorexia. It's not anything to do with any of that. It's a fact that they're walking closely associated with God right now. Amen. When he said it's over, it'll be over. But understand this, ladies and gentlemen, prayer and fasting is still a part of our daily routine and walking with God. And it draws us closer to him. Why'd you say that? For you to be challenged, charged, changed. Amen. Praise God. In the beginning, that's where we draw our lines and we made up our minds. In the beginning is where you mark your date and your destiny. By his grace, we started this race. And by his grace, we will finish this race. It doesn't belong to the swiftest. It belongs to the one that endures until the end. What I love about this race is that everybody gets to break the ribbon. Everybody is a winner. Thank God for good beginnings. Now it's time to think on powerful endings. The steps of a good man, the Bible said, are ordered of the Lord. He already knows. Do you? Someone once said, when I was born, I cried. When I die, I want somebody else to cry. Amen. Amen. When Elvis Presley died, it shook the nation to their knees. Impersonators rose up everywhere singing, "The King is gone." The song said, there's a man that gave the world his song and the world stood still to hear him sing. Now the king is gone. Yeah. Long live his name. And it talked about his throne and it talked about his crown. And ladies and gentlemen, one greater than Elvis is here and he's not gone. He lives and he's not finished. Let's stand together. Hallelujah. Amen. In my beginning, something got a hold of me. In my ending, I want to have a hold of something. In my beginning, the Spirit of God got a hold of me. In my end, I want to get a hold of the Spirit of God. You see, in my beginning, I brought him in. But in my end, I want him to take me out. That's why the end is going to be greater than the beginning. How are we more than conquerors in this life? By making the end as great as the beginning. And our greatest leverage today is love. Fear may have started our journey, because there's not a one of us that want to live in a place forever with flames leaping off of our shoulders 100 feet high. And then we found that once fear is confronted with the things of the world and the things of the flesh and things that we want more than we want God, then the fear just kind of has a way of dissolving away and putting on the back burner. But what we need to understand, fear may have started your journey, but it's going to take a little love to finish it. And I'm not in this church today because I'm afraid of going to hell. I'm in this church today because I'm in love with Jesus Christ, and that He is the greatest thing that has ever happened to me. I want to open an altar here this morning for somebody that wants to fall in love with Him. For somebody that wants to start all over again. For somebody that wants a new beginning. For somebody that wants to acknowledge your faith toward your God and let Him know that no matter where the ride takes me, I'm going through it, Lord, because I've got full intentions of finishing what I've started. Amen. Lord, when You chose me, You didn't choose a loser. When You chose me, You didn't choose a quitter. When You chose me, You didn't choose somebody that's going to shut up and sit down. But You chose somebody that's going to stand up and wear a crown. So my King is not dead. My King is alive. My King is in the house. My King is present. And He's a ready help. And I want you to come today and reach out to your God and believe the Lord to do great things for you. Don't let this moment pass you by. Don't let this moment pass you by. But let the Spirit prevail. Let the presence prevail. Let the anointing prevail. Somebody pray with somebody. Altar workers, help us work with somebody. Help us believe God for somebody. Let's trust the Lord to do great things in the house right now. In the name of the Lord. In the name of the Lord. In the name of the Lord. Yes, 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 yes.
I will open up inside.
Yes. Beginning.
I'll supply and sacrifice.
This is me showing God how I'm going to end this thing.
You supply the Spirit.
As long as I've got breath, I will praise Him.
I will open up inside.
As long as I've got breath, I'll praise Him. Oh yeah. Fill me up, God. Fill me up, God. Mahashata.
Let it rain, let it rain, let it rain.
The sacrifice.
You supply the spirit.
Oh.
I will open up the
sand.
You supply the fire. I'll supply the
Just let it rain.
Let it rain.
Let it rain.
Let it rain. Let it rain. Let it rain. Let it rain. Let it rain. Let it rain. Let it rain. Let it rain.
Lift our hands and thank the Lord for His acts of kindness, for His acts of mercy, for His acts of grace, for His acts of goodness, mercy. Hallelujah. 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 What a touch of God in the house. And I know God's done great things. Amen. Take your moment and greet our guests. Greet our visitors. Each and every one, you're more than welcome to make Landmark your home, place to worship, place to praise. God richly bless you. Amen. Don't forget that the hearts are ready for pickup next door at the Fellowship Hall immediately.